You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
John 16. Hallelujah. I want to teach on, overcoming is what I want to teach on. Being an overcomer. I know I taught back, I guess it was April or March last year on five ways to overcome temptation. I'm not dealing with that, all those five steps right now. I just want to center on one point right now. But, you know, we need to get a hold of the fact. I've been teaching on our identity, who we are as Christians. A lot of people don't realize who they are. A lot of Christians don't realize who they are. So we went through some scriptures over the last few weeks about who we are. Amen? And if you don't know who you are, you're not going to do what you can do. Most people don't realize what they can do because they don't know who they are. You know, Brent and I were talking about this just on the way to church night about how if, you know, adopted child, if they're adopted late in life, they have rights and privileges as an adopted child now, new name, new parents, new family. And although they may be adopted into this family, they've lived a certain way all their life. They talked a certain way all their life. They developed a lifestyle and actions that they're going to have to change. Although they're legally adopted, they're not really talking like the adopted family. They're not really walking like the adopted family. They're adopted, and it's kind of like us when we get saved. We get saved, we're a Christian. We've been adopted in one sense. But, you know, we have to learn the lifestyle and learn the language, as it were. You know, they had a movie, Princess Diary. Brenda, it's a chick flick. I didn't see it. But I remember what it was about. Just some girl in some school, just some common girl, and found out she was a princess. And so they came and got her, you know, and I'm doing my best I can because we were talking about this on the way to church tonight too. They came and got her. Her mother came and her grandmother. Okay, well, anyway, somebody came and got her. Told her, you're the queen, and said, you're a princess. And she says, oh, no way, Jose, not me, you know. And turns out she was, but the problem was she didn't act like a princess. She didn't talk like a princess, and they had to train her. Hello, because she didn't have the training. And see, as Christians, that's what we need to realize. It's one thing to identify with who we are abstractly. We are overcomers. No question about it. But that means that we act a certain way, say certain things, do certain things that bring the victory. That brings the victory. See, we all have the goal, we have the vision, have the dream of getting over something. Maybe it's anger, I don't know. Maybe it's an addiction you want to get over. Maybe it's a sin you want to overcome. Could be any number of things, a sickness or a disease or whatever. Don't throw away the dream, but don't make the dream your master. In other words, the dream is what we're headed toward. There are steps that are going to take us there. Just identifying with the dream and just saying, I have what it is that God says I have, that in and of itself gives you the courage and the confidence to step out on what you can now do as an overcomer, but don't miss out on what you got to do. Are you with me? I think we make a lot of the dream, a lot of the goal, but we forget the steps that take us there, the road that leads to it. And we need to make much of the steps and much of the road that leads there. A lot of Christians are maybe confessing, you know, what they are in Christ, rightly so. I believe that. You know, I'm strong on confession. But I understand that when I say that, that means I'm acting a certain manner, I'm living a certain manner, I'm talking a certain way that brings the results of who I am in Christ. Amen. Hello. You got to learn the language of heaven. It's either the language of heaven or the language of hell. I mean, you know, and you know, one will take you one place, one will take you another place. So when we look into this night, I want you to think about the fact that we can do this. If you don't know who you are, you won't have the confidence to carry out the job, obviously. And so it starts out with identifying yourself with Christ positionally, abstractly. I am this. But you know what? That means I can live this. I can do this. So the ultimate goal is always to change our lifestyle, to change what we're doing. Why? Because what we do is going to bring the result. It's the doer of the word that's blessed. He's blessed in his deed. Amen? And God blesses the work of our hand. God blesses what we do. That's all. He blesses what we do. And so, you know, just to pray and just to ask God to help us, He will do that. But what He'll do is change. He'll change us because He doesn't need to be changed. He'll change us and how we're living and what we're doing. In fact, even about finances, I'm not teaching on that. But if you want a financial breakthrough, you're going to have to change the way you're handling your finances. And if you want God to bless you financially, you ought to be praying God give you wisdom. Because sometimes we're just asking for more money. No money. And what we need is more wisdom. Are you with me? We need some insight. We need some wisdom concerning what to do with our finances. It's not the amount of money, it's the management of money. So a change takes place, and what happens is it changes habits that we had. We didn't know we were princes and kings and priests and to our God, but we are. But we need to learn a little decorum, a little etiquette. Are you with me? We need to learn how a prince walks, how a king walks, how a queen walks. Are you with me? How king and queen talks. And that's why we get in the Word. That's to find out how we ought to live. Amen? So we identify positionally with it. But that is just the ultimate outcome or goal. Through the teaching of the Word and studying of the Word, we find out the steps that take us to the goal, the method that takes us there, the road that takes us there. So, John 16, found it? John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Well, that's good. I mean, we understand that. Great, Jesus overcame the world. You know, we're reading along here. And man, what's that going to do for me? Here, I'm the one in the mess, not Jesus. Why should I be of good cheer? Why should I have peace? Because He overcame. Stay with me. I'm not being sarcastic, I'm just saying that in a sarcastic manner because that's the way we often look at this. John 16, verse 33. It says, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. See, it's not about Jesus having overcome for Himself to benefit Himself. The reason we can be of good cheer is not because He overcame for Himself. The reason we can be of good cheer because it's about us and what Jesus did when He overcame to benefit us. That's why we're of good cheer. That's why we have peace. Just to say, hey, you know, cheer up. I had the same thing you had and I got over it. Well, how does that help me? But with Jesus, when He says, be of good cheer, I've overcome, it has everything to do with me.
Yeah, amen.
Hello. It is about me now overcoming in Him. It's about me now doing all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are you with me? And if Jesus overcame, I can be of good cheer because, look at the 14th chapter, chapter 14, the 12th verse, Jesus speaking assuredly, or verily, verily, King James Version, most assuredly, New King James, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Hallelujah, somebody.
Glory.
So when I read about Jesus in the Bible, I'm reading about what I can do through Him who strengthens me. Not in of myself, not by myself, not in my flesh, not just by nature of me being a person on the earth. No, by nature of God in me now that I'm born again. By the nature of His words, where He said right here, he that believes on me. How many of you believe on Him? Is that you? You believe on Him? I believe on Him. Okay. Here's what it says. Most surely I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Woo! Hallelujah. I hope you got so familiar with that doesn't excite you anymore. I hope you hadn't read that so many times and said that so many times and heard that so many times it didn't mean a thing to you anymore. I hope it hadn't got so familiar with you that it just loses its impact and power. This is why when Jesus said, He said that in the 14th chapter. In this 14th and 15th and 16th chapter, intimate chapters, Jesus with His disciples, the 11, because Judas had gone to betray Him. And He's given him the last message He's given him before He's taken away, because He goes right from here to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then He's taken, you know, abducted by the temple guard and then eventually, subsequently, you know, crucified. So this is it. It's the last message, last words He got with Him until He's crucified. And He's encouraging them with this. He tells them they can do what He does. And then He says, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. That's why they can be of good cheer, because if He did it, we can too.
Absolutely.
Amen? Through Him. Because we believe on Him. See, you and I are born to overcome this world. We were not born to be addicted. We're not born to be overcome by sin, overcome by anger, overcome by, you know, all kinds of addictions or sickness or disease or whatever the case may be. We were born to overcome. We are overcomers. That word overcome here, in fact, all these scriptures we're going to look at tonight, this word overcome, in the 16th chapter, 33rd verse, I've overcome the world, is nakao. The Greek word nakao, it means to prevail, it means to subdue, to conquer, to get the victory. So your day today ought to be a day of getting the victory. It ought to be a day of prevailing, of subduing, of conquering and overcoming life. You shouldn't be under the circumstances. You ought to be over the circumstances. Amen? Hallelujah. So in light of that, turn with me. Wow. I got so many good verses I want to turn to. I don't know exactly where I want to go with this. Let's go to a third chapter of Revelation. That'd be good. Revelation 3. Revelation's a good book. One of my favorites. I have 66 favorites. It's one of them. Revelation 3rd chapter, he's talking to the churches. In fact, actually, Revelation 2, Revelation 3, both he's talking to the churches. The seven churches of Asia, Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis, Philadelphia and Laodicea. These seven churches that make up ancient Asia and modern-day Turkey, he spoke to their ministers, to the pastors, the angel of the church at Ephesus, he wrote. And every one of them, he told them, you know, something in particular about them, and then he told them to him that overcometh. And he gave a promise to every single one of them. The Ephesus church, it was, the promise was to eat from the tree of life. To him that overcomes at Pergamos, he told them that he'd eat the hidden manna, and he'd give them a white stone with a new name in it. No one knows but that person. To Thyatira, he told them, he overcomes, shall rule with a rod of iron. Anyway, every one of them had something that he told them he would give them if they overcame. And then he says here in the third chapter, verse 21, he's talking to the last church, the Laodicean church, the church that was really in sin. In fact, he commended every church except Laodicea. And Laodicean church, he's standing at the door knocking. He says, if any man open up, I'll come in. It's like he was outside that church trying to get in it. Like a lot of churches today. They have the services, but Jesus never shows up. He's outside trying to get in. They won't let him in because usually he's a little too loud or, you know, does something they don't like. But anyway, he tells them nonetheless that if they would overcome, in the 21st verse, that he would allow them to sit with him in his throne. But I want you to notice something here, 21st verse. To him who overcomes, everybody say, that's me.
That's me.
Okay. I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down my Father in his throne. Okay. But now catch this. You need to catch the process here. I mean, it's the steps to overcoming. Here he says, to him that overcomes, even as I overcame. To him that overcomes, as I overcame. Jesus has given us a standard, an example, a way or a method or a strategy to overcome. And what is that strategy? It's what he did to overcome. Whatever Jesus did to overcome, we can do and overcome the same way. Because if you break it down, he's saying, him that overcomes, even as I also overcame. All you got to do is go back and look at Jesus' life, look at his tests, the trials, temptations, the battles of life that he had, and when he faced challenges, what did he do to overcome? Well, if you'll do the same thing he did, because you can do what he did. We just read that in John 14, verse 12, that if you believe on me, the works that I do shall you do also. And even greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. It goes on and says that what you ever ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. So we know there he's talking about obviously praying in his name, believing in his name. I'm not teaching on prayer per se right now. We've done that before. Do it again. But the bottom line is, follow him and do what he did when he'd meet a challenge and when he'd meet a trial or he'd meet a test or meet a temptation. It's one thing to be sorry for your sins. It's one thing to feel shame for your sin. It's one thing to ask God to forgive you for sin. It's another thing to overcome it.
Amen.
Getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. God doesn't want us to just get forgiveness. He wants us to overcome the sin.
Amen.
Now, not beating anybody on the head. I'm just trying to help you. I mean, this is talking to me too. I mean, why keep coming? Here I come, Lord, with that same old sin. Well, why keep coming with that same old sin? Why don't you say, God, help me, give me some information here, what I need to do to overcome this thing? Because ultimately, God wants you to overcome whatever sin that is. Amen. Will He forgive you? Yes, He will. He's a God of grace and a God of mercy. But you're just not much of a light shining out there by just coming and getting forgiveness every time. You're a greater light by overcoming the sin than you are just getting forgiveness. You're a greater testimony to the power of God. The change in your life is a message that people read. They see it all the time. They see what a difference Jesus has made. And there should be a difference. Are you with me? But, you know, you've got to do some things. I mean, if we're going to overcome, then we're going to overcome as He overcame. Isn't that right? We're going to overcome as He overcame. We can be of good cheer because you overcame the world. Why? Because that means we can too. If we do what He did. If we do what He did. And we can do what He did because He said we could. Right. So finding out who you are is paramount. Sure, you got to identify yourself. Who are you positionally? But then that means that you now can do something you couldn't do before. You can act in a manner you couldn't act before. You are now have resources that you did not have before. Amen. Use them. Yeah. Learn this new language. Learn this new action. Learn this new lifestyle. Hallelujah. Follow Jesus and copy Him and do what He did. Turn over to Matthew 4. Just look at it real quickly, some things Jesus did. And I know many of y'all are a step ahead of me. You already know where I'm going with this. That's fine. That's okay. You need to hear it again. Amen. Matthew 4. This is where Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Everybody say, of the devil. Of the devil. Bear in mind, God's not the tempter. The devil is the... God doesn't wear that title. In fact, the Bible's very plain. The devil is the tempter, the tester, the trier. That's what the word tempt means. Tempt, test, and trial. Here in the third verse, fourth chapter of Matthew, now when the tempter came to him... Everybody say, the tempter. Okay, the tempter, the tempter. That's not God. That was the devil. We know that was the devil. As you go on here, he identifies him and tells us who he is. Now, how do you know the devil hates you? The Bible says, beware your adversary, the devil, who walks around as a roaring lion, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist, steadfast in the faith. So we have an enemy. We have a battle. There's a battle going on for your soul. There's a battle going on for the soul of your family. There's a battle going on for the soul of your city. Are you with me? And where you live and so on. But you know what? We can win this battle. We were born to overcome the world. We weren't down here to be overcome by the world. God didn't set us down here to be addicted to things and overcome by sins. He set us down here to overcome them. That's what I was born to do. That's my job. My job is to go out there and overcome every day, to subdue every day, to prevail and to conquer and to get the victory every day. My job is not to go through life and just be beat up and run over and dragged around. That doesn't mean I don't take abuse. I mean, when people say things, I don't respond. Sure, I pray for them. And when people persecute you, we know that you don't curse and you just bless and so on. But still, in that, you are overcoming by doing that. Amen. You're taking a high road when they're taking the low road. Amen. You don't make personal threats and insults. When they make personal threats and insults, you just pray for them. Walk away. That's overcoming, really. Because that's doing what Jesus would do. So in that, we're not saying that you're not going to be persecuted. They that live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. The Bible says that'll happen. But we still win even then. Ooh, hallelujah. Ours is the kingdom of heaven. Amen? So we see here Jesus being tempted by the devil. Same devil, he's still around today. Hadn't changed his colors. Hadn't changed, a leper can't change his spots. Whatever the devil was, he still is today. He's still tempting today. And you know what? We're still overcoming. We're still winning. It says here, when the tempter came to him, third verse, Matthew 4, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. First of all, the devil always questions who you are, always questions what the Scripture says, what the Bible says, if you're saved, or if this, or if that. A lot of times he'll come after you sin and says, well, if you were saved, you wouldn't have done that. Well, that's not God talking to you, telling you that. That's condemnation, and God doesn't condemn. God convicts. And you should be convicted by sin. But condemned by it, that's the devil. God doesn't do do the condemnation thing. He's not into that thing. That's not a God thing. It's a devil thing. So you say, well, should I feel shame? Oh, absolutely. I'm all about shame and guilt. Don't get rid of shame and guilt. You should be guilty and shameful about things you've done wrong. Hello? Because a lot, you know, today in this society, we want people to feel good about everything they're doing, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And we want to get rid of shame and guilt completely, and thus getting rid of sin completely. And telling people if they're sinning, it's okay, it's just the way they are. You shouldn't feel bad about that. Well, I'm here to tell you as a preacher, you ought to feel bad about sin. You ought to feel guilty and shameful about it. But you shouldn't feel condemned. God doesn't hate you. You can come out of it. You're not the worst person in the world. See, the devil will come and say, see, you're not even saved. You're worthless and no good. That's not God talking. God will say, you know, you're better than this. You got me and you can overcome this. You don't have to live that way. That's the way God always woos. In fact, I've never repented of any sin when the Spirit of God was moving that I didn't feel the love of God and the mercy of God and the second, third, fourth, 5,000 chance God never giving up on me, always saying, come on now, you can do better than this. And I felt guilt and shame because I could have done better and I should have done better. But I come up and I start doing better. You know what I mean? I mean, it's over. It's over. He doesn't hold it against me after that. He doesn't keep hitting me on the head with it. That's condemnation. That's guilt. I mean, that's not guilt. That's condemnation, excuse me. Guilt's okay. I mean, guilt and shame's okay for a while. You need to get rid of it eventually. But you need to feel guilty and shameful when you do sin. Are you with me?
Yes.
So, he questions who you are. That's what the devil does. That's where we went with that. But he answered and said, Jesus, fourth verse, answered the devil. Now, he answered him and said, it is written. That's simple. This is just, you know, overcoming the devil 101. Hello? This is just overcome temptation 101. But this is what we've got to do. Why do we do that? Why is it that we always pull Scripture out, you get Scripture on this and Scripture on that? You know, I don't care what's going on in my life. If there's something I need or some trial I'm facing or challenge I'm facing, I'll find some Scripture. I'll type up a Scripture. I'll personalize and make a confession out of it or something, you know. If I need wisdom, I'll just... James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberty, upbraideth not, and it shall be given. You know, and I'll personalize that. And I say, God, I need wisdom. I ask you for it, and I thank you that you give it to me liberally. I'll type it up. You know, Proverbs 3:5 says, lean not your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. He'll direct your paths, the sixth verse says. And I'll just personalize that. I mean, just today I was doing that. I do this all the time. Whatever it is my need is, I find the Scripture on it. Whatever my challenge is, I find the Scripture on it. If it's prosperity, if it's peace, whatever the case may be, I find the Scripture on it and I begin to quote the Scripture on it. Because this is what Jesus did. And I find time and time again when I do that, I start coming out of the mully grubs, coming out of defeat, coming out of depression. Hello? Coming out of this whole atmosphere of just don't know what I'm going to, I don't know if I'm going to make it, I just don't know how it's going to turn out. I start getting stirred up.
Amen.
When I start confessing God's Word.
Amen.
Why is that? I can tell you why it is. Because that's what Jesus did. And we're going to overcome the way He overcame. When he was faced with a challenge, he went right to the Word. And he spoke it, he just talked it right back to the devil. You've got to learn to talk it right back to the situation. This is all right to talk back. This is when you can talk back. Talk back to trials. Talk back to tests. Talk back to the devil. Those doubts that nag and, you know, and try to hinder you and stop you from being what God wants you to be. You get the Word out and you start talking to it. These are steps to overcome. This is how we overcome, by speaking the Word back. Well, in each case here, I'm not going to go in detail here, the devil came back at him again. The seventh verse, Jesus said, it is written again. The devil came back again. The tenth verse, Jesus says, it is written three times. Three temptations. Three things Jesus did, and he did the same thing, all three things. He quoted the Word to him. Every single time, he said the very same thing. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. Notice Romans 3. I had this come alive to me today. Romans 3. Romans. Acts and the letters of the Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts and letter to the Romans. You remember that song? 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. You remember the song? 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus and Philemon, Hebrews, James. 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. Now I said my ABCs, why don't you come play with me? Okay. Romans 3. Y'all didn't learn that song? Anybody learn that song? Man, I learned that song so long ago, goodness gracious. And there's another one in the Old Testament, but I won't go through it, bore you with that one. But anyway. Okay. Third chapter of Romans. Notice Paul speaking here where he says, he's talking about people that don't believe. Third verse says, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? No. The world can lie in unbelief, but God's still who He is, and He still does what He does. Everybody around you cannot believe, but if you believe, God's going to meet your need, and He's going to do what He says. Amen?
Amen.
And He goes on and says in the fourth verse, certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, and every man a liar. I love this. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. In other words, it's really talking about God, that as He spoke, He was justified by what He spoke, and He overcame when the test came and the judge came and the trial came or the people tried His character or tried to prove Him. He always overcame by what He spoke. He always overcame by what He said. His sayings justified Him and caused Him to overcome. So if you don't say the right thing, you not only won't be justified, but you won't overcome. Y'all get it? It is us saying the word regularly, constantly, consistently, over and over when trials come and trouble comes and tests come and challenges come. It is us saying the word, getting it in our mouth, that justifies us and causes us to overcome. God will never quit saying what He says. He'll never quit being what He is. No matter what anybody else does, let God be true and every man a liar. And because God never changes what He says, never changes what He does, He's justified and He always overcomes. Hello. Now, if you hadn't seen it that way, that's all right. Chew on it. You'll find out I'm right before it's all said and done. But think about it. He's talking about overcoming by saying, like Jesus overcame by saying it is written. And I can give you a perfect example, Revelation 12:11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame, Nikao, overcame, Nikao. Here, overcome, Nikao, same word. They overcame, they prevailed, they conquered, they subdued, they won the victory. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They spoke the word. Think of all the things Jesus could have done when the devil showed up. I mean, He's a miracle worker. Jesus is God in the flesh. He's Emmanuel, God with us. The devil's not even in His class. The devil's a fallen angel. He's an angel and a fallen one at that. I mean, think about it. He would not even in the class of Michael the archangel. Michael the archangel would be a good angel that's still in good standing with God. Are you kidding? We don't even know the name of the angel that comes down and takes the devil and throws him into the bottomless pit. We don't even know his name. Revelation 20 says an angel comes from heaven with a great chain and wraps it around the devil, throws him in the bottomless pits, put a seal over it for 1,000 years. A nameless angel. That big bad devil doesn't even rate. Hello.
Amen.
Michael the archangel showing up. Amen. So he's coming to Jesus. This is God now. What do you think God could do? He could take him. He could flip him around, throw him upside down, stomp him, make a mud hole out of him. I used to say that, you know, when somebody get mad back B.C. before Christ. I'm going to stomp a mud hole on you. You know. Jesus could have done that. But see, Jesus wanted us to follow His example. He wanted us to do what He was doing. And we couldn't really do that because He's God. But we can do this. We can speak the Word. So in essence, Jesus did the most powerful thing that He could have done. He spoke the Word. Because that's how you overcome. In essence, really, reality, that's how God has always overcome. That's why God has always prevailed. That's why God has always subdued. That's why God has always conquered, because of what He said. Woo!
Amen.
And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony.
Yep.
Romans 12:21 says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." There again, nakao, nakao, nakao. Be not overcome, but overcome. Be not overcome, but overcome. God didn't send you down here to be overcome. He sent you down here to overcome. Get it? Well, I'm just overwhelmed. Well, you're not supposed to be overwhelmed. You're supposed to be overwhelming. Well, I'm just overcome by all this. No, no, you're supposed to overcome all that. But there is some insight there, because he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You mess around with evil, let me tell you something, you're going to be overcome. Because evil always overcomes you. Always. Always overcomes you. If you play with it, if you mess with it, if that's what you do, if that's what you go for. But if you go with goodness, goodness will overcome evil. Evil will make you be overcome. Goodness will make you an overcomer. Woo! That's shouting ground right there. Goodness will make me an overcomer. If I will take goodness, the goodness of God, if I'll take the Word of God, if I'll take what God says and I will talk it and I walk it and I live it, then I will overcome, because goodness always makes me an overcomer. But if I go the other route, if I play around with fire, I'm going to get burnt. If I sleep with the dogs, I'm going to get fleas. You know what I'm saying? If you play around with evil, listen, you may think you're having a good time, but you're just getting succumbed, subdued, conquered, and before long you're just addicted. And you wonder, my God, what is wrong with me? What is all? Well, you played around with something that overcomes you. You need to be hanging out with things that make you an overcomer. Jesus didn't play around with evil. Jesus was good all the way through. It was the goodness of God that made him great. Are you with me? It's the goodness of God that will make us great. Be an overcome of evil. But now he's not talking about being passive and empty and just neutral. He's saying let's actively pursue goodness. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Man, the more you get in God's Word, the more you get God's Word in you, woo, hallelujah, the more you will overcome, hallelujah. You will be an overcomer by doing what Jesus did, by saying what Jesus said. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I was thinking of, you know, if you're going to let your words, your sayings cause you to be justified and overcome, always saying the right thing, always come back with the Word, always speaking the Word, then you're going to have to continue in the Word. And that's what Jesus said in John 8:30 and 31, 31-32. He said, if you are my disciples indeed, he says, if you continue in my Word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you continue in my Word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What makes us free? Truth will make us free. Get it? Goodness will make you an overcomer. The truth will make you free. Oh, hallelujah. The truth will. The truth will. How do I overcome? The truth. The goodness of God. The truth of God. It'll make you overcome. Okay, I'm asking God to forgive me of this deal. I want God to forgive me of this sin, but I want to overcome this sin. Well, you're going to have to find out the truth about that. What does God say about you? What does God say you are? You need to start saying who you are. Are you with me? And start acting like it. And start talking like it. And little by little, as you change your lifestyle, the pauper becomes a prince. Hello? What you came out of will drop off you. Your mannerism will change. The way you talk will change. The way you look at people will change. The way you act will change. I mean, surely you feel bad about what you do. It's wrong, don't you? I mean, we all do. Every one of us do feel bad about it. And yet, good Lord, we just keep on doing it again. We just do it again. Well, listen, you don't have to. If you'll change, see, you got to change your behavior along with your talk. You got to change what you're doing. You got to start standing on the Word and acting on the Word. You can't just talk yourself out of something you behaved your way into. Okay, write that down. Okay, anyway. You got to change the behavior. And that'll come, see, little by little, step by step, as you get in the Word and get the Word in you. And continue in it. Continue it. Walk in the light as you have the light. Walking in the light brings more light. It gets you ready to hold more light. It's like working out. The more you work out, the more you can lift. with weights and gym, you don't start out with maxing out right off the bat. You start out with a little bit of weight, and you get used to it, and you add a little more weight and get used to that. See, your capacity starts growing as you start determining to walk in the goodness of the Lord, walk in the truth of the Lord, and center in on this truth. Start saying what the Word says. Then little by little, you'll be able to handle more Word. Amen? And your capacity begins to grow. Most of our problems we're facing are, they're $10, 10-gallon problems. We've got a 5-gallon hat. We're trying to believe for $1 million, and we ain't got enough faith to get a hamburger at McDonald's. You got to start where you are and live it and walk it. Does that help you? Okay. 1 John 2. This is good. 1 John 2. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Jude and Revelation. 1 John, 2nd chapter. Familiar verse. We ought to all know this. The 12th verse. 12th through the 14th verse. John's writing, and he names off three classes or category of people here, young men, little children, young men, and old men. He says in the 12th verse, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. That's good. That's a good start. I mean, when you get saved, you get your sins forgiven. You're children in a child stage. If you want to grow up, then you go a little further than that. He says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. That's a mature age. You've been from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Overcome, nikao, prevailed, conquered, subdued, got the victory over. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Now, see, that's a little mature than, say, just children that are forgiven. Now you're overcoming, right? See the stages that you go through in life. And he goes on and says, I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. All you got to do is look at that and just slice and dice it, digest it, take it apart, examine it, analyze it. Obviously, the young men overcame because they were strong and the Word of God abode in them, lived inside of them. Like that verse I quoted in John 8, 30 and 31 and 32, if you continue in my Word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It'll make you free. Goodness will make you overcome. The truth will make you free. See, we can be a good cheer because Jesus overcame the world. We know how He did it. He overcame by the Word. He overcame by quoting or speaking the Word. It really doesn't get any more complex than that. I think as we, as we grow in God, many times we're looking for something new. We're looking for some deep revelation. And there's enough people out there with all kinds of new revelations for us to follow. And they come and go. They're a dime a dozen. Are you with me? And there's always some hot revelations going on. And usually it lasts a few years and it just kind of feathers out. Another one comes up, boy, we'll run over here. We have itching ears. Run into this and run into that. But really it's real basic and it's real simple. We got to get down to doing what God says and saying what God says and putting the Word out there when the trial comes and the test comes. Really actively going over and overcoming our sin, not just asking forgiveness for it, but attacking it. Hello. Attack it with the Word of God. Change our behavior. Change our speech. Change our action. And in so doing, we will overcome. Amen? If we're strong and the Word of God abides in us, we will overcome. That's what he says in the 4th chapter. I'm bringing this to close. 1 John 4, 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is He who is in you than he that's in the world. We overcome from the inside out. It's because of who is in us and what is in us that we overcome. Because of God in us and because of His Word in us, we overcome. The less of God's Word we have in us, the less we're going to overcome. But we work from the inside out. If you have a low Word level, you have a low victory level. If you have a high Word level, you have a high victory level. If you know a little bit about God, you have a little bit of victory. If you know a lot about God, you have a lot of victory. Potentially, we are overcomers. We are of God. And we've overcome because greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. You never go under for lack of resources. or lack of power. We'll go under for maybe lack of knowledge, but God's in us every time we go under, waiting to be resourced, called upon, accessed. Amen? He's there because greater is He that's in us than He's in the world. Why is it? Why is it that I still go under? You go under and I go under. We can look at times we didn't make it, that we gave in, or we... Well, obviously we didn't do something. Because God didn't jump at us when we went under. He was still there. We didn't resource Him. We didn't speak His word. And my final, ultimate closing, fifth chapter. This is it. The ultimate closing. First verse, fifth chapter, first verse. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everybody born of God? Amen. You believe Jesus is Christ? Okay, he's talking to you. Is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begat also loves Him who is begotten of Him. That means we love each other. Everybody say, I love everybody. Okay, I think it's Emily who said, love. Okay. The Sam Smith, who's in heaven, he used to always say, hey, I love you. Not a thing in the world you can do about it. The fourth verse says, fifth chapter, fourth verse, whatsoever is born of God, that's us, overcomes the world. Nakao, same word, overcomes, prevails against, subdues and conquers the world. We are not here to be overcome. We are here to overcome. We are not here to be dominated by the world, the flesh, the devil, sin, whatever the case may be. Oh, it may be happening, but we're doing something wrong. Are you with me? If we change our behavior, change what we're doing, change what we're saying, we can overcome because we're born to overcome. That's what we're born to do. It's our job. You know what my job is? My job is to overcome. And we got some slackers not doing their job. Hello? Sometimes we're slacking on the job here, see? We got to stand back up and do what we're born to do. We're born to overcome. This is what I was birthed to do. This is what I was washed in the blood to do. This is why Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Of course to save me, of course to forgive me, but to make me an overcomer. Hallelujah. To show the world what God can do in one man, in one woman, in you and me. He made us to overcome. And it says here, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. That's actually the same word, victory, just a different form. It's Niki, I think. Nikao is overcome. Niki is the way to overcome, the strategy to overcome, the plan to overcome, the method. So he says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes, subdues, conquers, prevails against the world, and this is the way or the strategy or the method that has overcome, conquered, subdued the world, even our faith. Woohoo! Y'all getting this? So, to him that overcome, even as I also overcame. Revelation 3:21. How did Jesus overcome? Well, he always believed God. He always believed. Jesus never doubted. And, of course, faith comes from the Word. He always believed the Word. And if he wasn't quoting Word, he was making it when he said it. That's deep. You'll have to go think of that one. Because he was the Word. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is you. This is me. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't lie to yourself about this deal. Don't go through life saying, well, God will forgive me. God will forgive me. God will forgive me. Sure, He'll forgive you, but He wants you to overcome the sin. He wants you to get out of the sin, and you can. It's going to take a little work. It's going to take a little effort. It's going to take some discipline, changing some habits and some lifestyles, but you can do it. You can overcome any sin. You can be an overcomer. You can overcome. You were born to overcome. This is your job. This is my job. Man, when I face a trial, I mean, there's lots of times I feel like a shell of a man. I mean, there's lots of times I feel inadequate. Lots of times I think there's no way. I'm just overwhelmed by it. I feel that way, but you know, I know what the Word says. And whether I'm shaking all over, or whether my lips quivering, or whether I feel insufficient, really doesn't matter. What matters is what I say and what I do. And if I get up and say what God says and do what God says, I may quiver my way through it. I may shake my way through it. I may just look like a shell of a man, but you know what? This will pass. I will win because God's Word is true. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. Hallelujah. Oh, I can overcome this thing and you can overcome this thing because you were born to overcome. Amen. This is what God has made us. This is the work of God. This is what God can do if we'll allow Him to. If we'll yield to Him, we can overcome.
Right.
Think about it. And He says this, fifth verse, who is He? He repeats it. Who is He who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen.
Well, I'm you know, if you hadn't figured it out, that's you.
Yeah, me.
That's me. Amen. Who? Me.
Yes.
That's me. I am an overcomer. Hallelujah.